I'm sure most of you at some time or another in your life have seen pictures of or been someplace where there is a desert. Several years ago, I have some friends living outside of Phoenix, and they live in that desert area, whatever that's called. And they have a beautiful new home there, kind of up in the hills, but everything looked, from somebody who's lived in Florida for 40 years, everything looks so kind of like dirt, you know, and some sticks coming out of the ground periodically. But there's nothing, at least to somebody who's used to a lot of green. It's really not very attractive. But very interesting, my friends told me that we had a little bit of rain that evening. Not much. I mean, we would call it a sprinkle here. But there was a little bit of a rain that evening. And he said, by tomorrow afternoon, you won't recognize the desert. So we went on a hike, and there were flowers blooming all over the place that were not there the day before. But that little bit of water brought that desert to life. I mean, it was beautiful, actually. I still wouldn't want to live there. But, you know, and then we read the story in the book of Exodus today about, now, Moses had just led the chosen people out of the slavery of Egypt. And he had to work for the king before he finally said, you can go. The final one being the death of the oldest child, of the oldest animal, everything. The firstborn. And so that they finally were able to escape the slavery of Egypt, and on their way, Moses put the rod that God had given to him up in the air and opened up the sea so that they could walk through in safety. And then when they get to the other side, they're wandering in the desert for a relatively short time. And they begin immediately to complain because there's no water. Now we're talking not about a few people, we're talking about thousands of people and thousands of animals. So you're in the desert, how do you find food and water for these living beings, which their exile lasted 40 years there? How do you find food and water? And so they're ready to kill Moses. They would rather die in Egypt than they would out in this desert. And so Moses goes to God and he says, look, you've got to do something with these people. I can't manage this. They're going to kill me. And so God gives him this direction. You take the staff that I've given to you, and you strike that rock that I will point out to you. And it poured forth water in abundance, so that they all had enough water, and the animals all had enough water to survive for years in the desert. So water keeps coming up to us as something life-giving. We don't survive long without it. You know, when you go wandering, if you walk in the desert at all, they always tell you, make sure that you have plenty of water. So even though you're only going to be out there for a day, I guess it can dry you up pretty quickly and very really put you in danger very quickly. So we come to the story in the New Testament today in the Gospel of John. It's a very interesting story of the Samaritan woman. Number one, Jesus finds Jacob's well and he sits down there to rest. And the Samaritan woman, the Samaritans were very much hated by the chosen people because they had kind of intermingled with some of the pagans when they had been conquered at one time. And so they wouldn't have anything to do with them. They were considered unclean. And here Jesus is breaking two laws right away. One, you never speak to a Samaritan, and you never spoke to a woman alone. And he was doing both. And interesting, the topic was she came to the well, Jesus came to the well, because they were thirsty. And of course, John, in his gospel, he has all kinds of levels of thinking. The first one would be the story itself, that, you know, people come to get to practical. You, when you're thirsty, you come to a well to get something to drink. And then there's other levels, spiritual levels that he speaks of. There's also that yearning and that need for another kind of water that gives life. And as the story goes on, Jesus kind of gets the message across through her, to her, that he is the living water. That he would give to her living water. And St. Paul, somewhere in one of his letters, talks about that rock that we speak of today in the reading from Exodus, that rock is Christ. And wherever that rock is, wherever that living water comes from, if we are connected with that, we don't have to worry about thirst, because God will guide us to where we need to be, not just practically in finding places where you can get water. I'm not talking about that now. But he will guide you to a fulfillment of a thirst that we have, every one of us has built into us. We came from God. God made us. We came from him. And so there is no perfect peace in us until we are once again connected with our God, because that's where we belong. So we look for ways to satisfy that thirst, that spiritual thirst, many, many different ways in our lifetime. Not all of them are good. This lady, she was trying to find it in some kind of love that she was not finding. And so she would go from husband to husband to husband. And maybe that wasn't her only problem, because she seemed to be something of an exile. But when Christ said to her, I can give you living water, so that you never have to come back to draw water out of this well again, because it will be like a spring of water welling up inside you. And he said that living water, I am giving that to you. I can give that to you. It will bring you the kind of satisfaction. It will help quench the kind of thirst that really is important for you, and that somehow will bring you not away from eternal life, but connect you with eternal life. So he's kind of putting himself as that necessary water that we need for life. It's not just for our natural life, but we need it for our spiritual life. He is that water that will bring us to the fulfillment of all of our deepest needs, and ultimately to the union with God that ultimately we seek, because we came from God. So it's an interesting story for us to kind of reflect on. What kind of obstacles do I put in the way of that? What kind of obstacles do I have that, as St. Augustine said something like, our hearts will never rest until they rest in you. Because we seek for things that we think will bring us happiness, will bring us peace, will bring us fulfillment, will bring us joy, whatever it may be. And a lot of times they are not the things that really do help us. They create bigger loneliness or darkness or thirst. And he said, what I want you to do, like this lady, when she was willing to admit that she was a sinner, Jesus got her to admit this simply by saying, go bring your husband here. She finally looked at herself and said, I'm looking in the wrong place. I found the answer to all of my needs, for all of my desire. I need the joy that I want in my life. I found it now. And that rock is Christ. So This Sunday is one of the scrutiny Sundays during the season of Lent. And the scrutiny is for the people preparing to become Catholic, who are now called elect. They go through a series of three scrutinies. And the idea of the scrutiny is to kind of help them to reflect and say, where am I in this journey? Am I still seeking for the strictly material things, the things that I can touch, the money things, or the power of things, or the wrong kind of love, maybe our passions, fulfilling our passions or something of that nature? Are those things still getting in the way of where I really need to be? Because we can't fully embrace Christ until we are willing to acknowledge that where we are failing and to set those aside. And then we can embrace this living water. So it's not only a time for the elect to be examined, it's a time for us to ourselves just kind of look at our own life. None of us is perfect, so we all have something we can find there. What do I need to remove so that I can more fully enjoy the promises that this living water, which Christ wants to give, that I can fully receive that and work toward that perfect fulfillment? Think about that today sometime. Where do you stand? Do you have all of these obstacles that maybe stand in the way of that gift, that all you need to do is acknowledge, recognize, identify, and maybe know that there is something beyond that, and be willing to embrace that. Embrace that living water, which is Christ.